And good afternoon. This is Reverend Dr. James Gibbs of Solutions. We're happy to be with you today, and we hope that you will receive information that will cause you to join in with us. The parent company that we represent is National Society of Christian Educators, and we are committed to equipping the people for the work of ministry throughout each community, wherever we may be, by focusing on high-risk and troubled youth. And we focus our organization on five pillars of community concern. Those pillars are drugs and the community, gangs and gang warfare, teenage pregnancy, school campus violence, and homeless children. Our mission is to do whatever may be necessary or desirable to assist at-risk and troubled youth, to educate them through community-wide workshops and symposia, volunteerism, and we call upon the school board community. We like to have teachers with us, volunteer teachers, university personnel, pastors, and local law enforcement, so that they may eventually achieve a place in society as productive and fulfilled adults. We are excited on the 13th of August, which was a Saturday afternoon, we held our first symposium. It was a preschool 2011 youth symposium. It was at a nearby community center, and we had some young people there. We were blessed to have them there, and we intend to continue this sort of thing. We had one of our sponsors to donate football tickets so that we could take a few of our youth to a Florida A&M University football game. And so, as I say, we're making a lasting and positive impact on the quality of life for inner city youth in particular by partnering with those organizations such as Give $1 to Save One Partnership Foundation, Black Male College Explorers Program, Florida A&M University, Cornerstone Solutions Incorporated, Ernest J. Lane Men's Apparel, a Promise Center of Excellence, and Scopake Publishing Incorporated. Now, all of these are working together to create a continuum of care with intervention programs and activities on multiple levels that are sustainable and measurable over time. And we welcome you to BBS radio program. The name of our program is Solutions. And what we're hoping to do is to formulate some kind of solutions. We don't have the solutions. You have the solutions out there in the listening, in listening land, in radio land and internet land. We will pose questions. And we had been focusing on school campus violence. This is something that is of great importance. We cited various things. Incidentally, I was looking through my book titled Responding to Crisis Situations, Confronting Today's African-American Youth. This is a book that I wrote, and it was published in August of 2009. It can be purchased through ebooktime.com, and or you can go through my website at www.nseinc.org. You can go there, and you can get the book through the website. It gives you all of the instructions. You can also make your tax-deductible donation through the website. And we need your your donations to help us stay on the air so that we can have these kinds of dialogues. There is a book titled Overcoming the Invisible Crime, Overcoming the Invisible Crime by Yinka Vidal. That's Y-I-N-K-A, Yinka, V-I-D-A-L, Yinka Vidal. He said, when good people keep quiet, listen very carefully, the voice of evil will grow louder. When good people keep quiet, the voice of evil will grow louder. He pinpoints four powerful forces affecting teen violence. And these forces, if you would want to call in and make comments, the author's name is Yinka, Y-I-N-K-A, Vidal, V-I-D-A-L. And he has a segment in my book that I've highlighted, the four powerful forces affecting teen violence. First of all, he says, we need to kick the fake heroes and bring in the real heroes. Just because a person is good on the field, are able to shoot a ball in the net, does not mean this is an appropriate role model for our children. Parents should be the role models for their children, not the sports or movie stars. He goes on to say, however, society idolizes these fake heroes because they make money for the business. And consequently, we have sacrificed the welfare of our children for the idolatry of money, power, and fame. Now, that's his first thing that he points out. And you might want to take some notes on that because if need be, I will go back over it. But I'm going to go ahead on and read his second point. He said that we need to be teaching children how to deal with anger. We have a culture of violence and winning at all cost, as Europe has clearly demonstrated since the world wars. I was appalled as NATO continues to bomb a nation for so long, killing many innocent people. And then he goes on to say at his third point, and we are talking about how do we define the winner. We now derive more pleasure from killing innocent people at the same time worrying about our ego of who is winning the war. Society needs to stop the mad worry of hurting the male ego. Undoubtedly, many women have displaced men from jobs and are now at the mercy of the female's economic power. These hurting males have continuously reflected their anger to children, and we wonder why some male children are angry at minorities and women. Perhaps males have to learn to swallow their egos and teach their children to respect the changing times when females are taking economic control of the families. Then he goes on to say, Congress must act now to stop the prevalence of guns in society. Gun prevalence makes it easier for anybody to resort to violence with guns. However, because of ideological madness, we do not have enough guts to put the proliferation of dangerous weapons under control. We are not serious about crime control. Although the Constitution guarantees the right to bear arms, it does not guarantee the right to build an armory in the homes like we have already today. The extremism of idolatries create the death of common sense. The question to ask is, America, do we love guns more than we love our children? Now, these are some of the points. Now, he has a solution here, and I'm going to look through this. This is by the same author, Overcoming the Invisible Crime. If we are serious about teen violence with guns, we will control guns so they will not get in the hands of criminals or children. We need to kick the fake heroes and bring in the real heroes into the classrooms. There are many people who wrote books about bad experiences that happened to them and how they learned to cope with life. These are the people that should be in the classrooms teaching children how to handle anger and stress, failures, and loneliness. Get the book Overcoming the Invisible Crime. It is the biography of a lab manager that learned to remain calm despite different adversities on the job. Amen. And that's a good point there. And I'm also pushing my book, Responding to Crisis Situations, Confronting Today's African American Youth. We have a program that we borrowed from Dr. Rodney Hammond, a professor at the University of Dayton, up in Dayton, Ohio. He has the PAC program, which is Positive Adolescent Choices Training. And Positive Adolescent Choices Training, or PAC, it was designed specifically for African-American male and female adolescents. And I don't want to get into that. I think that it's good for all of our children, regardless of who they are, where they are. So I would sort of override that and make it more applicable to all of our children that have abnormal and aggressive behavior. It talks about American males and female adolescents. It applies cognitive training methods in small group settings in six skill areas. Elementary school teachers preferably select students for participation based on social skill deficiencies, problems with aggressive behavior, or history of victimization. Training is provided twice a week in 50-minute sessions for half of the school year. PACT volunteers will facilitate the training and are aided by a high-quality videotape that demonstrates the skills in realistic fashion. I've had the opportunity to use this PAC program a couple of times during some church symposia. And it seemed to work pretty well, but the only problem that I had in working with that particular setting was that I had too many kids, and the ideal way to do it is to have something like six or eight kids, and the males and females must be separated because there are some questions that may come up that are unique to females that you would only want to have in a female setting. Also, there are questions that are unique to our young male population that they would be very uncomfortable in discussing in a mixed population. And so I didn't have that luxury of scaling it down. There should be approximately 8 to 10 kids in each group setting. If I recall, I think when I tried to get this thing rolling, seemed like I had about 40 kids in one room, and they were mixed, female and male, so I was at a loss from the very beginning because it was way too many people in that setting to do anything. So the only thing that we could do or ever hope to do is just ask generalized questions. You know, what do you do when someone calls you some ugly name? What do you do? And you get feedback that way. So it ended up being something more related to bullying than it did dealing with positive adolescent choices training. The PAC method gets into more specific areas, and just remembering the tape that I have, I can think of a couple of instances where we have the opportunity to actually sit down with a male population or a female population and do constructive work and have the young people to evaluate the effectiveness of the program, because the more we do it, the more skilled we become in doing it. From the very beginning, it is somewhat cumbersome. It is somewhat, you know, it's sort of like trying to wait on table with boxing gloves on. But the more we get involved in it, the easier it becomes. One of the problematic things that we did as a demonstration had to do with a young man, and he was somewhere in the neighborhood of maybe 13 years of age. His tennis shoes were stolen from his locker. Apparently, when he during his class changes, he apparently forgot to lock his locker, and he just threw them in his locker and kept going. And someone came by, unlocked the locker, took his tennis shoes. Well, we know it's a bad thing, but these things happen all the time. And so the fellow who stole his tennis shoes sold them to another guy for $20. And so as the young man is walking down the hallway, he looked down and he spotted his tennis shoes. And he followed the guy outdoors. The guy went outside. And when he got out there, the guy was apparently admiring his shoes by wiping them off or something like that. And he walked right up to the guy and told him, "Those are my tennis shoes. Where did you get those shoes?" And the guy told him, you know, like, what is it to you? He said, you know, one thing led to another. These are my tennis shoes. And fella said, well, how can you prove that? He said, because he had carved his initial underneath the shoe. And his name is, whatever his name was, he looked under there, and sure enough, there was his initial. So he told him that the shoes were stolen and that they were his shoes. Young man, one thing led to another, back and forth, and it began to escalate, and it was about to get ugly up in there. And so they freeze the frame at that point. And Dr. Hammond steps out and says, okay, this is where we have a potential problem. And so what we want to do, first of all, we see this as a teachable moment. We see this as a place where we might be able to help some young person. It might save you from being involved in bloodshed or stabbing or anything violent, even up to and including loss of your life, because some of these young fellows and girls carry guns to school. And although there are resource officers present, I don't know if the young people have to go through metal detectors and all of that nowadays. I think in some of your more inner city schools, and as the crime rate gets so bad, they perhaps do have things like that, because there's this push to separate the downtown kids that don't go to school but just are there to sell drugs versus those that are in school. So they have resorted to uniforms and things of that nature. But even sometimes uniforms really do the trick, because these people, you know, they can buy uniforms as well. So Dr. Hammond freezes the frame at that point. And we look at it, say, doing it, taking it, working it out. Those are the three powerful tools that we can use: doing it, taking it, working it out. Giving it, taking it, working it out. Yes, when you see something that you have a bona fide right to express your displeasure, there's nothing wrong with blowing off a little steam. And he saw his tennis shoes, and so naturally he became furious. But at the same time, there are certain guidelines that we need to work with and teach our young people to follow. And that is, the first thing that we must do is that we must learn how to stay calm. You cannot lose your temper. You can't lose it, because if you lose it, you lose it. If you lose your temper, you could lose your life. And so we must learn how to control our emotions. And that is perhaps the biggest thing in the world that can save our young people, is to remain calm. It is a pair of tennis shoes. Just look at it this way. It's a pair of tennis shoes, and a pair of tennis shoes is not worth losing your life over. That's the first thing. And I know that it sounds it sounds very easy. Many times words are easy for us to express, but in the heat of the moment, they're not so easy. You know, it's difficult from time to time to maintain your composure when something is working against the grain of holding it together. So that's the first thing. We must learn how to develop a mechanism within ourselves that will tell us to just chill. Just chill. Some would say take a deep breath before you say anything, before you do anything. Take a deep breath. Just swallow. Take a deep breath. Inhale, exhale, do that a couple of times, and you would be surprised at just what stepping back just for a moment, how that can work on your psyche. And then after that, we learn how to approach the situation calmly. Now, we give more specific instructions in the classroom setting, because there are some guidelines specifically that we must teach our kids. I can't teach it on the radio for the listener. I can't teach that program under these conditions, but I'm just giving a generalization as to how we do it. There are certain ways that we learn how to approach that person and remain calm, because the very first one to lose their composure is the one who will lose the battle. We'll just keep that in mind. We'll teach you the rest. Now, there are some institutions, schools, park and recreation facilities, and I guess there are civic groups, private groups, fraternities, sororities, even hospitals in the basement or somewhere in a side room, who will often employ someone of these skills to come to their facility so that you can begin a course in training young people how to control their... This is not a anger management program. It is teaching you how to think on your feet, and the best way of doing that is sort of like reprogramming your attitude. We need a checkup from the neck up. We need a readjustment, if you will, of our ability to think and respond under various circumstances. So we're happy about that. I was happy that, as a matter of fact, I made a call to Ohio and I spoke with the people there, and they said it's okay to use the PAC method, because if you can use it in Florida and you can use it in New York or you can use it anywhere that will make a difference in the lives of our young people, then take it with our blessings. And I was very grateful to the folk up in Dayton, University of Dayton, for giving me permission to use this method. And so we are trying to get this thing going here in Tallahassee. I haven't had a whole lot of success outside of my church group, my church denomination, and aside from having, you know, 40 kids rushing in your classroom of all mixed gender, which is the wrong way of doing it, and they own time restraints, you know, 20 minutes here, 20 minutes there, it just did not work out. And so we hope that as time goes by in the future, we can get this thing down to a science whereby I can work with the administrators and people who run these organizations and these different groups to set it up in a way that is far more effective than our experiences the last time. If you want to call in and talk with us, 888, this is toll free, 888-627-6008. That's all over North America and Canada. Once again, that number is 888-627-6008. 888-627-6008. I have spoken to a couple of people, and I'm expecting at least a couple of phone calls. So I don't know. You might want to just go ahead on and dial in now. I think the questions that we're facing, the concepts that were read, if I could give you a question to research, is how would you, what would you suggest as a good alternative to taking a bite out of this school violence, school campus violence? What would you suggest that would take a big bite out of the violence that we encounter on our school campuses? Should there be a curfew? Should young ladies be allowed to parade around on the campuses at all times of night? I'm sure they do have curfews in the dormitories, but I don't know when the libraries close and things of that nature. What about the lighting? I've seen college campuses at night where the lighting is less than desirable, where, it's not very well lit and anything could happen down those dark streets. And what about ways of identifying kids on campus versus somebody just walking through the campus? Should there be some kind of ID badges or something worn at all times when you're on the campus? I don't know. I'm just throwing some things out there. And maybe if we brought these ideas to the attention of the administrators of colleges where you are, don't have to come here, but colleges where you are, it might be a thing that could be useful in campuses all over North America. So let me hear from you. Let me hear from you. This is Solutions. It's a toll-free number, 888-627-6008. I'm going to take about a 3 minute break and give you a chance to formulate what it is that you might want to say. And I'll be back after I grab me a cup of coffee, and I'll be right back with you. And we're back, and we do thank the technical people and the station managers for giving us a little breather. This is Solutions. Toll free is 888-627-6008 all over North America. And so far, I have not received any calls from anyone, and we're waiting on you. National Society of Christian Educators is still in the business. We've been around now for since 07. We're a 501c3 organization. Our website is www.nsceinc.org. Once again, it's www.nsce, that's lowercase, inc.org. We thank you so very much for listening to us, and we hope that you're not entirely too bashful to call in and let us know what you think. We're talking this week on the subject of school campus violence, one of our pillars of concern, community concern. I guess if you were to think about any college campus or any high school or university campus where there are people, you can at some point in time reflect on violence of some kind that has taken place on that facility. And, here at Florida A&M University, we recently had a very tragic situation that took place a couple of weeks ago. And every day there's always something going on. And so as we focus on our young people, our sons and daughters that are attending not only Florida A&M but Florida State University and Tallahassee Community College and schools throughout this area, the Big Bend area, we can think of schools across the entire country, across the world, North America, all over the world, and we just need to reach out and touch somebody and pray for those young people who attend campuses all over the nation. We will have prayer near the closing of our program. That's one of the great things that I like about this program, is because we're not censured because of our religious convictions. We don't aim to hurt anybody in any kind of way. We don't say unfair things to anybody. We don't mean to mistreat any group or groups of people. We just want to do what is best for humankind. I'm an old country boy coming out of the mountains of Western North Carolina, and that's always been the way that I was raised. My parents are looking down on us now. They have passed on many, many years ago. And so I'm just carrying on the work of a good old pastor. And I guess at this time of day, it's now about 6:40 in the afternoon, Eastern Standard Time. It's a little winding down time for me. I was sitting in there waiting on my time to come on the air, watching Florida and Tennessee football. I'm a great football fan, and I always have been. I played a little bit of football when I was in high school, and of course that may seem like it was a long, long time ago. And I'm sure that I have church members up there at Mount Pisgah who would say, "What? You mean to tell me you played football?" Yes, I played football. And the ball then looked just like footballs today, that oval-shaped kind of thing. And we dressed then the same way that the players dress today. Amen. So, anyway, back to our program. We do hope that you will take an interest in what we're trying to do and join us. I've been trying to send out some shout-outs to different people. I've been sending emails to tons of people. And I guess this time of day, on a Saturday afternoon, many people are just out of pocket. It's a good day for going out and watching a good football game, or going out with the family, going to the park, or picnicking, or whatever. And maybe I will have to perhaps rethink this time Saturday afternoon. I had a program once up in North Carolina, a radio show, and it was about this time, but I have to remember that it was during the dead of winter. And, you know, in the dead of winter, people often don't have a whole lot to do when you're in the mountains. People are at home. And so I think the geographics had a lot to do with it. I would talk to a lot more people. But down in this part of the country, it's a little bit different. So, won't you call me? Won't you call me? Let me know who you are. Introduce yourself and tell me a little bit about yourself or what have you. And if you've got a statement to make relative to school campus violence, and I want to keep that on the front burner because it is a real issue. Some people ride back and forth through the campus, and they don't even notice that there are potential things that are lurking there, that there are criminals walking up and down the streets on the campuses, that there are drug dealers walking through there, that there are people of all kinds of persuasion that are there. And so we must keep our young people in our minds, in our hearts, and in our prayers. They are our children, your children and my children. And I would not want anyone or anything to harm in any way my children. Of course, my children are up and grown now, and they're out on their own. But, let's see, my baby son is 36, and my older son is 41. And it is sometimes amazing how time flies. So just call us, toll free, 888-627-6008. 888-666-8008, and that is North America, 888-627-6008. Call me up and let me know what you're thinking and how we could improve our college campuses, our high schools, our middle schools, campuses, and make them safer for our children. Anything that you could add, and I think I've said a few things earlier relative to the physical. What my wife just came in, and I'm going to put her on the spot. Pardon me. We are trying to come up with ideas that would improve our college campuses that we might be able to share with one another. One thing that was brought up was we could look at the lighting on the campus as we ride through. I know that this campus up on the hill here, it seems like you're in a dark pit going through there at night. And I know that, you know, I would probably be afraid myself to walk through the main corridor of that campus. It's about the same way over on the other side at Florida State. At night, those campuses look very dim. I don't know, maybe that's conserving energy. But are we really conserving energy? We need to be about conserving the lives of our children more so than energy. Another thing is often you see young ladies walking the campus. I imagine that they are told to walk in groups as opposed to walking singularly from one building to the next. I have seen young ladies walking singularly, I guess from the cafeteria or the eating place or what have you, going back to the dormitory. Well, that is not advisable. It looks like that the young ladies are setting themselves up for failure. I don't know. I want to hear from you. I guess you can hear my emotions as I'm thinking about these things, but I kind of just can't get on board with the thought that there's somebody out there listening but will not call in. So maybe you didn't get the number. 888-627-6008. Toll free anywhere in North America. That means you don't have to pay for the call. You're not going to be taxed for it. They're not going to ambush you. You will not be coerced into some absorbent fee. It's just a call-in. But more importantly, I want to hear from you because you are probably sitting on a wealth of resource that we need to hear about. Can you think of anything else?
No, not at this time.
All right. That's a good response. The wife just came in and she said, no, not at this time. Okay, well, there are many things to look at. The daylight hours, we perhaps need more visibility on the campuses of security. I know that there are campus police officers that ride through the campuses all the time. You can see them parked at various places. Is that enough? Do they need to have increased visibility? Do they need to have security riding bicycles, perhaps, or on horses, or however they do it? I don't know. You tell us. You tell me. Maybe that's something that you might want to take to your neighborhood college campus, share that with the administration over there? Or do you need to form an alliance with the local city police department or county police department? Because from what I've seen, I don't think that many of our university police forces, I don't think that there's nearly enough to control. Let's take, for example, Florida State University probably has about 40,000 students. Now, if you were to look at the numbers of law enforcement personnel, you could probably come up with maybe, 1,500, maybe 2,000? Is it that many law enforcement people on FSU's campus? I doubt that very seriously. So then how could that number compared to 40,000 students be adequate to protect our young people? The same thing with Florida A&M University. So you carry that to its maximum level and look at campuses all over this country, and it might be that we're understaffed. We need sniffing dogs. We need sniffing dogs going about on the different floors, because you know what's going on. They're in there doing drugs. Some of them are. I know that your kids and my kids aren't doing it, but we're talking about the other kids, those from the inner cities of the larger cities. You've got some of those elements on your campus. And so we need to take every precaution. I think that perhaps, and I might be wrong, and again, I need you to tell me, because, you know, I'll go off on a tangent and I'll talk for days and could be wrong. But what I'm thinking is that if you have a state university, and we're talking about school violence, there are some young people whose primary purpose is to come to this campus or the one across town or the one in your city or the one in somebody else's city. They're coming there specifically for the purpose of selling drugs or maybe selling guns. They're coming there to kill somebody. And so we need to be mindful that we have all kinds of vices on our campuses. We have terrorist activity that may be in the making right now. You know, we tell our people at the airport, you know, look out for suspicious people, suspicious-looking people. If there's any luggage left around, it's unattended. And then when you look on the campus, I mean, who's going to notice luggage unattended? Who's going to know? You could have a Foot Locker sitting out in the middle of the street. Nobody's going to notice that. So we put ourselves and our children at so much risk. I know that this is an over-exaggeration, oversimplification, but sometimes we need this kind of dialogue in order to make something make sense to us, is that we ourselves are putting our children at risk. We need to see that. And it's not, you know, when you ride through the campus on a Sunday afternoon with a beautiful clear blue sky and the trees, and this time of the year the leaves are beginning to turn just a little bit. You know, it's a little bit melancholy, you know what I'm saying? It's a sentimental kind of thing, and you can almost smell honey. So, listen, don't you believe that? It's not what it appears to be. Somewhere in some dormitory room, somebody is using a high level of profanity. There may be arguments going on. Somebody's gambling somewhere. Somebody's fighting somewhere. Maybe somebody's getting stabbed or robbed or beaten or murdered or raped. All of these things are happening as we speak on our campuses. So it's not just nice and heavenly. Those nice little buildings over there begin to turn like monster buildings. And this is why I want you to call me. Because, you know, it might be at a point where I may have to ruffle your feathers in order to get you talking. You know, I may have to provoke you or get you mad before you can talk. Because, you know, we just sit around and everything's cool. Don't you believe that? We're going to be talking some more next week. And we're going to be talking about the same thing, about school campus violence. And I'm really, really, really concerned about this to the point that it sort of becomes a thing with me, and it is consuming me, because so far today is week three that we've been on the air. I have not received one phone call at this time. And that's a little bit scary, because we are on the internet. We're all over North America. I know that there are many, many millions of people in Spain and Italy and Africa and Russia and all over the places that are probably listening. If you're outside of North America, that number is 530-413-4522. Once again, if you're outside of North America and Canada, 530-413-4522. If you are in North America or Canada, 888 toll free, 627-6008.
Just wanted to say, Dr. Gibb, that if time is up for closing, just want to let you know, nobody can hear us.
Okay, thank you. All right, we're closing it out, and I thank you. The Lord be with you until we meet again on next Saturday. And I want you to pray for me this time, because I prayed for you the last time. Pray for the campuses. Pray for the kids on the campuses, that they will be safe and that they will be protected under these horrible conditions that we have put them under. And we thank you. We thank you so very much. The Lord be with you.